Well, my heart is filled with gratitude for the Lord gracing us and allowing us to experience that as a community of faith in Brookhaven in Southwest Mississippi. Over 40 churches came together, as well as thousands of Christians inviting their friends, inviting their community to hear the good news that Jesus saves, and He is the hope for your life, for our community, and for the world. And so we spent 4 nights celebrating Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And what an incredible experience. You say, well, where did we get that go tell? Well, really, it came through Rick's father, who was an evangelist, Freddie Gage. And years ago, he was a brawler. He was lost. He got saved at a crusade. And God called him to be an evangelist for decades. I had a lady that came up to me and said she was in Rick's father's crusade when she was 13 years old, and she was a senior adult lady. She got saved at a Freddie Gage crusade. And generations later, she was in attendance at his son's crusade. Where did that come from? Well, it came from Mark chapter 5. You take your Bibles, join me there. Mark chapter 5. We're not going to read the whole chapter. We're going to read the first story of three stories in the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Mark. Now, something like that, 10,000, including that youth rally that happened a month ago, and there were scores of decisions at that event. Packed out church there. And then each night, and of course, when you say the last night was packed out, there was literally not another seat to sit in. People gave up their seats and stood for the entire crusade all along. And I just want to say that doesn't happen without God's grace using people. Anytime you see Brother David Williams, the Lincoln Baptist Association mission strategist, Brother David Williams from Lincoln County, Brookhaven, God called him back here. He had a vision that we would have a crusade. We haven't done that in 25 years in our association and area. And God blessed him with that leadership. You thank David Williams. Say thank you, thank you, thank you when you see Brother David. In fact, let's thank Brother David. I hope he'll see this. First Baptist loves David Williams. God bless you, brother, you and Selena. And then our leadership team. There were 13 major leaders over different sections. 4 of those were your members that led major areas of that. Counseling and follow-up. Carrie Soans led that. When you think of music, somebody had to help coordinate all of that different thing. Pastor Nick was in charge of that area. When you think of the setup and arrangements, how did all that stage and all of that stuff, recruiting all of those volunteers and then tearing it down, they left at 1 o'clock, early Thursday morning, taking all of that down. Lucy Watts organized all of those volunteers to help in that. When you think of the area of, I want to make sure I get this right, all that marketing, all of that publicity, all of those videos that you saw, it took 2 directors, 2 chairmen for that, and Emmeline Davis, our own Emmeline, was one of those co-chairs of that. Would you thank all those people and thank all the volunteers that made that happen? You did a great job. You did a great job. And let me just say, thank you, church, for being faithful to your budget. First Baptist Church helped support that through our budget. And then we had people that helped raise funds through businesses. Some of you gave directly. I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for being a generous church in your budget, in your special offerings. When the need is there, you respond. And thank you for being that. In fact, you'll know if you were in Sunday school, you saw the 2026 church budget and how it was presented. And we'll vote on that after the worship service next Sunday in our special business meeting, November, the first Sunday in November next week. After church is dismissed, our members will please stay for a moment. It'll take 5 minutes or so, and we will vote on the budget for next year. See how I slid that in before the sermon? Okay. Mark chapter 5. Go tell. Go tell America. All right, I want us to look, beginning at the very first verse, this incredible story. Now, I'm not going to be able to preach on the whole thing because it's an incredible story, and there's a lot of things here that would, but I really want to focus on Jesus. Jesus and a man that was set free, a life that was set free. They came to the other side of the sea, to the region of the Gerasenes. You may have Gadara in your translation. As soon as he got out of the boat, a man with an unclean spirit came out of the tombs and met him. He lived in the tombs, and no one was able to restrain him anymore, not even with a chain, because he often had been bound with shackles and chains, but had torn the chains apart and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and knelt down before him, and he cried out with a loud voice, "What do you have to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg before you, God, don't torment me." For he had been told, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." Jesus had already saw him coming, realized he was demon-possessed, and spoke to the demons and said, "You come out of the man, you unclean spirit." So the spirit responded to him, "Leave us alone and don't torment us." And verse 9, we pick back up. "What is your name?" he asked him. So Jesus asked him, the demon, "What is your name?" And the demon said, "My name is Legion." And he answered him, "Because we are many." Legion means many, literally 6,000. And he begged him earnestly not to send him out of the region. And a large herd of pigs was there feeding on the hillside, and the demons begged him, "Send us to the pigs so that we may enter them." So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs. The herd of about 2,000 pigs rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned there. The men who tended them ran off and reported it in the town and the countryside, and the people went to see what had happened. Everybody loves a happening. Everybody, if you see a car crash, what do you do? Slow down and rubberneck. You just got to watch it. You got to see what's happening. Well, this is the same thing. They all came to see what happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the man who'd been demon-possessed. Now, this is interesting. And the man is now sitting there. He's not running around crying and screaming and cutting himself. He's sitting still, dressed, and is in his right mind. And notice, they were afraid. Those who had seen it described them to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told them about the pigs. Then they began to beg him to leave their region. Can I tell you something? Jesus would leave a witness in this region, but Scripture records that he never comes back to this region again. Be careful what you ask God for. He may give it to you. He may leave your city alone. But he did leave a witness. God's just merciful. He will leave a way. He will leave a way for you to get saved. But he'll honor that request. Let me tell you something. It says they begged him to leave the region. Verse 18, and as he was getting into the boat, the man, now Jesus is now getting back into the boat, and the man comes to him that had been demon-possessed, now set free, and begged him earnestly that he might remain with him. He wanted to stay with Jesus. He wanted to get into the boat. And Jesus did not let him, but told him, go home to your own people and report to them how much the Lord has done for you. What great things the Lord has done for you. And how he has had mercy on you. And so he went out and began to proclaim in the Decapolis, which literally means the 10 cities. There were 10 nearby cities. He started going to that entire region, how much Jesus had done for him, and they were all amazed. Now, friend, that is a salvation testimony. That is changing from death to life, from darkness to light. And today I want to focus on that. Oh, we could talk about the pigs. And we could talk about Gadara. I've had the privilege of going there. I've seen the hill. There's only one little hill on the east side of the Sea of Galilee in the northern corner whereby those pigs could run off a hill and go right into the sea. It's right there. And to the side of it, when you look at the side hill, there are literally drawn into the caves tombs where that demon-possessed man would have lived as an outcast in society. It's quite a humbling thing to walk where Jesus walked. That place exists, and we could talk about that. I could show you pictures of it. Today, I want you to focus, though, on how Jesus set a man free and how he can set you free. And then when he sets you free, what should you do then? Number one, we see there's a problem only Jesus can solve. Did you notice that little verse? I tried to emphasize it. Here's this man bound in shackles and chains. They tried. They tried to somehow solve the problem. We'll put him up in the tombs where nobody goes. We'll put him off in a hill where nobody can hear him. We'll chain him up so he can't hurt himself or hurt somebody else. That's how we try to solve the problems we have. We try to modify behavior. Let's go find something to help me modify my behavior. Friend, when you're sin sick, you don't need modification, you need salvation. You need to be set free. You need a change from the inside out, not the outside in. We don't need you to learn 10 steps to cope with misery or how to make yourself happy on a Monday. We need to be saved. We need Jesus to come in. And the Bible says no one was strong enough to subdue him. Why? Because his problem was not a physical problem. His problem was a spiritual problem. And only the Lord can solve a sin-sick heart. Now, to hear me, dear Christian, friend, when Jesus comes in, the old devil may try to oppress you, but praise God, he can never possess you again. Oh, well, listen, when Jesus comes in, he's in the house. It's his house. Now, old devil can be on the outside tempting, but he can't come in the house anymore. But here's a man who didn't have Jesus. He was lost. Now, I don't know what your addiction is or what your fascination with sin is, or you're still trying yourself to somehow manage your old nature and domesticate it. Friend, you can't domesticate it. Your old sin nature, like my sin nature, needs to be crucified on the cross. You don't need to play with it. You need to admit it. There's a problem here only Jesus can solve. Now, I want to take a little side note, because I do want to talk about the demonic for 10 seconds. We make two errors when it comes with demon possession, anything demonic, witches, all that stuff, Ouija boards, all that mess. Number one, as Christians, sometimes we just say, well, really, this was just talking about psychological problems, and he probably just needed to get on some kind of lithium. No, that's a battery, excuse me, laudanum, I don't know what you call it. We deny it. Friends, Satan is real, and so is one-third of the heavenly angels that joined him in rebellion against God, and he cast them down. Where did he put it? Down here on earth. And you know what they hate? That Jesus came down into their world and says, you know what, this is still my Father's house, and I'm going to save my people. And they hate that Jesus came as the incarnate Son of God. Now, they don't mind calling him Most High. They don't mind saying that there is a God. Even you say you believe in God, the Bible says in James, big deal. Even the demons confess there's a God and they tremble. They don't mind confessing the deity of God. What they hate and what they do not want you to believe is that God came in the flesh. down here on earth into their world where they want to control things. And he invaded this world and said, this is my Father's house and I'm taking my people back with me. He came to seek and to save that which is lost, and he did it right here on earth. They hate that. They won't acknowledge the incarnate. They'll say, oh, you can talk about Jesus and you can believe there's a God. Just don't follow Jesus as your Lord and Savior and submit your life to him. They don't mind you being religious. They don't mind you going to church every now and then. As long as you do not surrender to the Lordship that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords and he's your Lord, and you're going to deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow him. That part they will rail against. They do not want to hear that Jesus Christ is Lord right here, right now, and forevermore. Now, that took more. The second thing is, don't get a distracting fascination with the demonic. There's some people who try to get a PhD in the demonic world. Friend, it exists, but too many people get so focused on that, they forget it, that Jesus Christ has already defeated the devil. Why do you want to become a historian of the person who lost the match? Why do you want to get all, like you need to know every little detail about the loser? Focus on the victor, Jesus Christ. That'll take care of all the losers, all right? Now, wait a minute, I want to make one other point. In chapter 5, if you read the whole thing, what you see is Jesus has power of the demonic, Jesus has power of the disease, he even has power over death. It is an incredible chapter. Now, number 2, a life only Lord Jesus can change. This man was broken, shackled, tormented so much he hated himself. If you ever get involved with the devil, he'll do anything to mar and destroy the creation that God made you. He'll get you to hate yourself. God loves you. God made you. He don't want you to hate yourself. That's of the devil. That's of the devil. Listen, he likes exactly how he made you. Now, he wants you to get over the sin. He wants you to trust him. He don't want you to give into that world. But friend, let me tell you something. Don't look down on how God made you. You thank God for every day of life you've got. You thank God. Don't be emotionally cutting yourself, putting yourself down. Listen, the Bible says when you get saved, you're accepted in the beloved. You say, I wish I was this and I wish I were that. Why don't you just thank God for who you are and enjoy life and start living. Start enjoying life. Start telling people about Jesus. Now, wait a minute. I'm getting on to point 3 and we're not even there yet. Our new life in Christ should be shockingly different than our old life with Christ. Did you notice that phrase? When they saw the man, the crazed, demon-possessed man, screaming, yelling, they would hear him all night. You know who else heard him? Jesus heard his cries in the night. You know what it says about this particular trip? That Jesus had needs to go through Samaria. You see, this part of the world on the eastern side is the Gentile side. Jews would never go into this area, and you surely wouldn't be going into a graveyard. You surely would not be going to see a bunch of pigs. Jesus said, I have need to go through Samaria. Jesus went there. Why? Because he heard the screams and the tormenting cries of this demon-possessed man at night, and he came. I believe he came to it. He hears it. This man gets set free, and the world looks at that and says, whoa, we don't like change. We'd already put this dude in a pigeonhole. We already made a place for him in our culture, and he was hopeless. These are the hopeless people. These are the untouchables. These are the people we never have to pray for because they're too far gone. Our culture does the same thing to people. Well, we've tried and we've tried and we've tried. That family member that never seems to cooperate, always seems to make trouble every time you do something, they let you down and you're tired and you just kind of want to put them over someplace that nobody goes anymore in your mind. Friend, keep praying for their soul. Keep loving them and praying for them that the one who can change their life, they will have a living encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus can set anybody free. Those people were distressed because they saw someone do something they couldn't do. We think we are in control of everything. And we've got everything. We do not, my friend, but Jesus does. You and I need to recognize that if there's no change in a life, they've not encountered Jesus Christ. Now, they may have encountered good religion. Mama may have taken them to church sometime, but have they had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ and said, God, help me, save me. I'm tired of trying. I'm tired of trying to create a facade to try to make people think I'm okay. But truthfully, Lord, my heart has never been submitted to you. I just do my own thing and try to get away with fooling other people, and I'm tired of it. I want a real change, because when you know Jesus, you will know a changed life. I know myself in Christ, and I also know what Greg could be if he gave into that old self and all that temptation. I know what my life would be like without Jesus, and it would be just like, in some form or fashion, this demon-possessed man. Destructive, self-destructive. But thank God, at the age of 12, I received Jesus Christ. His offer came to me, and I said, yes, Lord, I will follow you. Forgive me of my sins. I place my faith. I've never doubted the good old glorious story that Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world, mine included, that he was buried for the sins of the world, and that on the third day God raised him from the dead. He is alive. He is Lord Jesus. He is King of kings, and one day he's coming back for his people. I believed it then, and I believe it now. See, Jesus changed my life. I know the old Greg. He would ruin everything. If there's any good in my life, and the good that have I experienced in my life, I give all the praise and glory to God, because he changed me. And friend, if you've got a testimony about Jesus changing your life, it's worthy to share and tell to others. Your testimony about how Jesus changed your life is to be told by you to other people. Remember what the man did? He wanted to get in the boat with Jesus. Isn't that just what we all want to do? We just want to stay there on Wednesday night at the football stadium at King Field. Packed out. Looked like all of Brookhaven was there, all of Southwest Mississippi. Hundreds making decisions for Christ. Worship music. People loving each other, churches gathering together. It was a beautiful sight, and if you're not careful, you'll just want to stay there. Say, oh, Lord, let's just stay right here. Friend, what you've received is not meant to be put in a safety deposit in your spiritual bank somewhere and just saved there, and then every now and then you go pull it out and look at it. Boy, remember what it used to be like. It's meant to be given away. Look what Jesus said. He said, son, don't stay in the comfort zone. You go tell. Go tell what great things God has done for you. He said, number one, go home. Go tell your family. Go tell your family. Tell them, I had a living real encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, He has changed my life. I've been trying to lead my own life. I've been trying to control my life. I've been trying to control other people. I've been thinking that somehow if I could just be good enough on Sunday, somehow it would last all the way till Saturday, and I'd try to do it again. No, I got saved. I humbled myself. I gave myself to Jesus Christ. I admitted, Lord, I cannot save myself. And you humbly come to Jesus Christ. You take your stand, I will follow Him with His help. You can't save yourself, my friend. You can't keep yourself saved. It's a trusting Jesus day in and day out. Follow Him. Tell your family first, and then go tell your friends. Go tell. The next thing He said, go to your own people. Go to your own people. The people that know you. Go tell your friends. Go tell your neighbors. Go tell the people you work with, the people you go to school with, the people you go to church with. Go tell your friends. And then I love this part of the story. Jesus told them, now go home and go to your own people and tell them what great things. And the very next verse, it says, not only did he go home and tell his friends, it says he went to the Decapolis. Deca, 10, polos, people, cities, the 10 neighboring cities, that whole region. Everybody knew the demon-possessed man in those tombs. And now they look at him, and can you believe him? Say, you know, you look familiar, but you don't look the same. That's right. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Jesus is the reason for the difference. Let me tell you how Jesus can change your life. He just went around telling. It would be like us going from Macomb to Summit to Meadville, to Natchez, to Brookhaven, to Monticello, to Wesson, Hazelhurst, and Crystal Springs, the 10 cities of the Decapolis right here in southwest Mississippi, and just want to tell everybody, Jesus changed my life. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? When God calls on your heart, it's time for you to be saved and then resist the urge just to stay right there and get in that little boat. Don't put your testimony in a little boat. Get out to the world and tell them. I put this up here. This is a graphic from Go Tell America. And in that red box, I boxed that out. It says underneath that red box, with Rick Gage. Go Tell America with Rick Gage. In fact, that's the back, a shot of the back of Rick Gage at a crusade, inviting people to come to Jesus. The reason I blocked that out and put that line there is because Rick's not here this week. He'll be somewhere else. He got in the boat. He went to the other side of America. He's going to do another crusade somewhere else. But guess who's still here in our Decapolis? Me and you. Put your name on the line this week and say, I'm a Christian, and I'm going to go tell my family, my friends, my community what great things God has done for me. Would you pray with me? Oh, Heavenly Father, our mighty God. Now, Lord, there are people who made decisions in the crusade. And, Lord, today is the day to get out of that boat, not get in the boat and stay there at King Field, but to go tell, to stand before your church family and say, this is my testimony I'm standing here to tell you what great things God did in my life. For some of you, you got saved. You realized you never had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Some of you might have had a religious relationship, but God convicted you. You had not trusted Him as your Lord and Savior. Some of you, for the first time, you really sensed God was calling you. God was calling you to be saved, and you knew it, and you knew you had heard the gospel, you understood it, but now it became personal, and today you're going to take your stand right here. You're going to come among your home and your friends right here, and you're going to take your stand. Others have realized that this week they had a saving faith in Jesus, but they got distracted, and they've been living for everything but Jesus, and you rededicated your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and you took your stand there. Would you come today, if the Lord leads, and take your stand here and say, I just want to, in my own family, because you know me, I want you to know I realized there need to be a difference in my life. And Jesus, I trust Him to make that difference, and I'm rededicating to the Lordship of Jesus in my life. I'm going to do some follow-up in the Bible, and I'm going to start putting Him first and not other things in my life. And I want you to hold me accountable as my friends and people who love me. And I'm going to take my stand for Christ today. Somebody may need a church home. That's a decision made here locally that God's been calling you to hear. And we would receive you gladly. But if God has recently, especially during this crusade or during the youth rally before the crusade, He's spoken to you, don't stay in the boat. Don't even ask Jesus just as, Lord, can I just stay here in this little boat with you? Go tell. Take your stand today for Christ. Heavenly Father, have your way. We'll respond as you call us today, as we sing, as we commit ourselves to you. Lord, have your way today as we testify of what great things you've done in our life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you please stand? Would you come as the Lord leads you today?